Welcome to What's Working, everyone. So happy you're here with us on the show today, taking a listen to what we're bringing you. This is the show about workplace, workforce, and marketplace trends. Trying to find guests that can introduce us to the trends that will help us figure out how to use them, how to apply them to our business, to our work, to our family, to our clients, customers, whatever it may be. The goal is that you learn something from the time you spend with this show and that you're able to apply that something in some way beneficial to the world around you. So try to find guests that can teach us something that we can apply to make each of us a bit better. You know, one of the things that has, this introduction is going to cover two topics here. Number one is that my emotions have been very high for about the past 10 days due to what appeared to be a very blatant breach of contract by a client of mine. And it looked premeditated. It looked malicious, for lack of a better term. And when I've pointed this out, their reaction has been dismissive, which has only made, as you can imagine, my emotions run even higher. And I'm trying to rectify this thing amicably and try to get through it. I've had to engage an attorney, and attorneys aren't cheap, to make sure that this breach of contract does not hurt me. And that they just simply don't think that this is normal rules of the road, that they can do this and hold them accountable to it. I have no way of competing against this multinational organization that has done this. I am a small business, and to raise any sort of legal battle would drain me of my finances, and it would be just so insignificant to them. But there's a part of me that says this David and Goliath challenge that I've been put into, I could turn and walk away, but I'm not. I'm going to try to do my best to rectify this situation and show them very clearly. Here's your signature. Here's the contract with your signature. And here's where the breach has occurred. And here is the trail of emails that suggest you don't care. And fix this thing. Anyway, the emotions have been run very high. Perhaps a show in the future is, how does David take on Goliath in a world where Goliaths consistently win? How does a David take on a Goliath? If anybody has insight into a way that we can make a show about how does David take on Goliath, and I don't care where you are in the country, if you've got insight into how to do this, I would love to hear from you and put you on and ask you questions that will help other Davids out there when they've been violated by Goliath. This week's show. I remember back in the day, there was extraordinary conversation about big data. And I would be on the road giving my presentations in my workshops, and I would sit through speakers before and after me, and they'd say things like, just wait till big data gets here. Just wait till our stock performances are driven by big data. Just wait till this and this. I'm not sure big data ever showed up. Perhaps it did, and it was a whimper rather than a bang. The same level of conversation, perhaps even greater, is being held around AI today. Just wait till AI gets here. Well, it's here. And I'm wondering, so what is this going to do to me? Now, I will admit that I've gotten online and used AI to do some pretty powerful things. But what it's not done is made my life tremendously, or my work, or my business, tremendously easier, better, more profitable, nothing. And what I've got today is a guy coming in. He's been on the show before. His name is Kai Gray, and he was on the show to talk about ESG. His other passion is AI. And I've said to him prior to him agreeing, listen, man, I don't want to hear about what it's capable of. I want to know what it can do. Give me some specifics. He said, Cam, got you covered. He's on his way to the studio as we speak. After the break, he'll be settled in under the headphones on the microphone across from me. And my goal with Kai, tell me what this stuff can do. Show me how powerful it is. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. Be back after this break.
The This is Seth Cherniak, Vice President of Branch Development for the Jeffrey Matthews Financial Group. If you're an experienced financial advisor wanting the freedom of independence but aren't sure making that jump is right for you, we should talk. Jeffrey Matthews has developed a successful program for advisors who don't want to be 1099 contractors and don't want to pay for their own overhead. We're looking for advisors who want the freedom to run their business the way they see fit with the support that comes with a W-2 firm. If you're interested in joining one of our branches, or if you want to open your own branch as a full-time employee, let's chat. Our compensation plan is one of the most competitive among all W-2 firms, big or small. Reach out to us today at jeffreymatthews.com, connect with me, Seth Cherniak, on LinkedIn, or click the link in the podcast.
Jeffrey Matthews Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC.
Back, you're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. Sitting across from me in the studio today is Kai Gray. Kai's been on the show before. Our focus on that show was ESG, but I've learned since that he is a powerful, and I'll explain that in a moment, AI advocate. He leads the Lower Alabama AI Group, and if you're not in Lower Alabama, that doesn't eliminate you from the value of our conversation. He calls himself a power user. So, Kai, thank you for your time. Welcome back to What's Working.
Thank you very much. A pleasure to be here.
I want to hear how you have become a power user of AI, and then we're going to get into not what is this stuff capable of, but what can it do for me right now today?
Sure. So, you know, for background, I have a technical background and came up as a software developer and write code and that sort of stuff. But really what happened, I was very interested in AI in general when it was released. Keep in mind, sort of the AI that we're talking about is really about a year old, right? It's a very nascent industry from a user perspective. And so about a year ago when ChatGPT was released, I was intrigued and started using it quite a bit. And started to incorporate that into my work and sort of, you know, what we did at my consulting firm and how we used AI. And over time, I started to meet more people that were also interested in AI, that were using it. And, you know, I'll call us hobbyists, right? Power users, in that we're using it every day, but we're enthusiasts of AI. And so we started to meet on a regular basis, and that turned into this very informal, the Lower Alabama AI meetup.
Yeah, and it has increased your facility with AI, this networking and sharing, and
yeah.
Now you're kind of, in my world at least, leading the charge on what this stuff is capable of.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, what's interesting to me is seeing people in all different aspects of life come to these meetings and talk about how they're using AI and what's interesting about AI. And so it's everyone from landscapers to accountants to lawyers to, you know, software engineers. It really runs the gamut of professions. So I think, you know, it's always a great example for me that AI is touching a lot of different people, a lot of different industries.
Let's take a step back and make the presumption that there may be somebody who has heard this reference to it but doesn't know exactly what it is. So give us an AI 101 explanation.
Sure.
And then we'll move from there.
So I think one thing that's really important for everyone to understand is that AI, or artificial intelligence, is the simulation of human intelligence in programmed machines. So AI is just any machine that is programmed to act like a human. And so, you know, I think one thing that people forget is that we're using AI, whether we know it or not, and we have been for some time, right? When you think about that definition of a machine that's been programmed to simulate human intelligence, this goes back to, you know, every time you chat with something online, you know, your bank, or you call an 800 number, what you're corresponding with is something that's trying to simulate human intelligence. It may not do it in a particularly great way, but that's what it's trying to do. And so in effect, that is artificial intelligence. What we're talking about today in the context of AI in 2024 and beyond is really about that simulation is becoming greater and greater. So the thing that you're interacting with is very, very similar to a human, indistinguishable in many cases.
Yeah. In what it knows and how it knows how to give you feedback, answer, even in tone, I've noticed in some cases, you can request that tone. Distinguish, if you will, and I talked about this in my opening segment. There was the prediction of big data changing our life, and now there's the prediction of AI changing our life. Give me a sense, and again, I want this show not to be about what it's capable of, but what it is doing. How are you using it on a regular basis to make your days better, easier, quicker, shorter, and how did you get to that point?
Sure. So I think one thing that, you know, is most intriguing about AI that we all have access to is, you know, I think of AI as a superpower, right? It's something that you now have direct access to, by and large, sort of the totality of human intelligence in written form. So AI, the AI that we use is all based on large language models. And so
what does that mean?
That means that it's a model that's been trained on text. It's been fed lots of text, and that's the language part of that. And so it has, in effect, read every book that's been published, or it's ingested every website that's been published. And so it has that totality of information that you can just ask, right? You know, this is...
What does it mean to ingest it? That's fascinating. I mean, I could read a book and remember what the book has taught me. You're suggesting there's a machine that can read a book and remember what the book has taught
them. That's exactly what training a model looks like, is feeding it a book and asking the machine to remember everything in the book. And it, you know, using very sophisticated mathematical models, it tracks every word in that book, for instance, so it can recall that at the right, in the right instance. But that's what the training process goes into training these large language models is just feeding it, you know, book after book after book, millions and millions of books, and saying, remember all of these.
Yeah.
And then start to make inferences between them. So you can say, you know, does this correspond to this? And understand if it's correct or not.
Yeah.
And that's really the power. That's what we're able to access using Gemini or ChatGPT or any of the different AI tools that we have access to.
At some point, I want you to list the most influential or helpful AI sites that you know. But first, give me a sense on a daily basis, Kai, of how you're using this to make your life better.
Sure. So one very concrete thing is, so I spend a lot of time in Excel, and I used to think of myself as very good at writing Excel formulas. And now that is a job for AI. Right today, I would go to AI and particularly I would go to ChatGPT.
ChatGPT, which is one of the AI sites, chatgpt.com.
chat.openai.com. And I would ask it, say, I have an Excel file and I want to do X, Y, and Z. How do I write that formula? And it will write the formula for me. I'll say, I have this data in you know, column A, I have this data in column B, and so on and so forth. And then it will produce the formula for me.
It will produce that. And then you copy that formula.
Into Excel.
And you paste it into Excel.
Yes.
And all of a sudden that's done.
And it's done. And it can be extremely complex. So these are things that would take me, you know, 30 minutes to do. And to error check and all this stuff. And now it's done. I mean, it's almost instant.
So in doing that, you've got to know the capabilities of Excel.
Yes.
You've got to know what outcome you're looking for.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing. And this goes at the heart of, you know, there's this idea, and I hear it a lot, where it's about AI taking people's jobs.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that where I land on that is that AI is not going to take your job. AI is going to take the jobs of people that don't incorporate AI into their job, right? And so, yeah, I know a lot about Excel, so I'm able to. I have enough domain knowledge that I can employ the tool to do the job I wanted. I think it's much harder if if I were a farm. You know, if you said, hey, I want you to use AI as a farmer. I don't have any domain expertise in that. It probably wouldn't be an effective tool for me.
So you've got to know your you've got to have a deep expertise, and then you can utilize the AI to speed up, for lack of a better term, supplement your expertise. We're going to get into this more when we come back from break. I'm sitting across from Kai Gray, a self-described AI power user. He's telling us how he uses it on a regular basis. You're listening to What's Working. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Eastet. I perfected my baking recipe behind my live music stage at my little restaurant in Fairhope, Alabama. We have custom-made smokers and small-batch bacon made just for you. So if you're looking for the best bacon in America that has been cured, smoked, and even serenaded by songwriters, you definitely need to try Billy's Small Batch Bacon. www.billysbacon.com.
Listening to What's Working. Sitting across from Kai Gray, power AI user. He runs the Lower Alabama AI Group, but don't let the regionality of this group in any way dissuade you from listening to this. This is all helpful to all of us. Kai, prior to the break, you gave a great example. You know nothing about farming. You're not a farmer. So you can't go to AI and say, make me a better farmer. But if you were a farmer, you could hypothetically say, what are the weather patterns that are historical to our zip code that may help me in planting this crop that needs this amount of sunlight, etc.? You could go in infinite depth on what you know about what a crop needs, on when to plant it, and AI would be able to support you there. So the key being, you've got to be an expert in your field to utilize this technology.
Yeah, and I would use expert with a little bit of caveats, right? I think what you want to do is to be able to check that the AI is going down the right path. That, you know, AI is not 100% correct, and it has what are called hallucinations, where it will just answer you even if it's incorrect.
Yeah, I've read about some of these hallucinations.
It'll just give you the wrong answer, but in a very confident way. And it's
sounds very much like me at home.
that's right. And so where the domain knowledge comes in is understanding, like, oh, this is a correct answer, or this makes sense to me in this domain. So for programming, I mean, I think AI has changed programming forever. As a software developer, the amount of time I spend writing software versus the amount of time I spend asking AI to write software has completely changed. So what used to take me days and days to write in software now takes me minutes. But I know enough about the software creation to understand when the AI is doing the right thing or the wrong thing, that I can look at it and say, okay, no, you got this wrong, but good try. Let's do it again. Try this.
So you don't give up on it. You say, let's re-ask the question differently.
Yes. And this is something about AI that is really important, is when you're interacting with it, it's a very iterative process, going back and saying, okay, think about it like this, or here's an example of something I liked from before. Use that and reincorporate this. Or when I ask AI to write something for me, I'll typically say, well, I like this part and this part and this part. Rewrite it using those things that I liked. And it does a very good job of sort of learning about that, learning what you like. And you know, when you can feed it examples of previous things that you've written, so you give it a transcript of the show, for instance, right? If you fed it a digital transcript of every show you've done and say, now create a new show for me that follows my exact format, it would do a very, very good job. It would be likely indistinguishable from a real show. that you did.
So let's you've opened up a can of worms here. So you mentioned your Lower Alabama AI group had landscapers in it. It had accountants in it. Can you give me an example of what one of these other people are, how they're using it?
Yeah, one of the this was great. So a landscaper does some fairly high end hardscape stone walls and things like that. Said the story that they relayed in the meeting was that they had run into an issue. There was a leak in a wall that they couldn't figure out what it was, and they eventually figured it out. They basically rebuilt the wall and all this. But afterwards, in our meeting, we were demonstrating the ability to upload photos into ChatGPT and have the AI look at a picture and diagnose an issue. And he uploaded a picture of the wall he was working on and asked AI to figure out what the problem was.
So let me take this step by step. He had a picture of the wall when it was leaking, the before picture. He uploaded it and said, diagnose why this wall is leaking.
Yes.
Something as simple as that.
And it did a very good job. And he said the answer was, it basically broke down the problem and then the steps to fix it. And he said, this is exactly what we did. It just took us a lot longer to get to this spot. And so because of that, what he has his guys doing now is taking photos of the work that they're doing to have AI effectively double check the work. Say, does this look correct?
No kidding.
Yeah.
So he gives AI the task of saying, our goal for this image is blank.
Yes.
And it needs to retain water. It needs to not fall down the soil is sodden behind it or something like that. Have we done it correctly?
That's correct.
And the machine, it's not a machine exactly, it's but the AI is going, yeah, you did a good job. Yeah. Or no, I've noted a problem.
Yes. Or is it, did you do the following things?
Yeah.
Right. That I can't see in this photo, but, you know, is there gravel behind the wall? Is there, you know, whatever goes into building a wall? It will ask him all these questions. And he said, more importantly, it'll ask the guys in the field who are doing the work if they've done all of these things. And he said, it's been a huge success.
So there's no question that there's an extraordinary amount of content in our world today that AI, these large language models, I'm trying to adopt the terminology, can find online. And, you know, they could hypothetically cruise my website and gather information like they can over tens of millions of websites. Yeah. But what about the audio? What about the instructional videos that I perhaps have created or others have created? What about all the tens of millions of YouTube videos out there. I'm curious, what is the limit to what it's collecting?
Well, in theory, there's not a limit. I mean, the limit comes down to copyright issues. That's what sort of the AI industry is dealing with right now, is because they need a massive amount of information to train their systems on. And so when the first versions of AI were being trained, they went around a lot of copyrighted material.
Yeah.
They sort of just said,
they said, if you can get it.
It was a
doesn't
big,
matter
it was
where
a
it
big
comes
net.
From.
And so they're dealing with that now, but AI is very good at, so AI is a whole bunch of things, right? It's not just large language models, but it's natural language processing. So it can listen to a language and it can parse out words and figure out what is being meant by that.
So even the podcasts of mine and tens of millions of podcasts out there are being collected.
That is correct. 100%.
And it can get my, you know, when I make anybody makes a joke, it could say, you know, that's not accurate. That's a joke.
That's right. And it can start, you know, so the more sophisticated models can listen to audio and determine sort of sentiment and say, okay, this person is depressed or this person is happy. This person's making a sarcastic joke. This person's making a sort of a slapstick joke.
Yeah.
And sentiment analysis is a huge domain within AI and within language natural language processing, but you have image recognition, you have text, you know, sort of OCR capabilities, object character recognition. So there's all these different facets of AI. So it's able to to watch video. And with the latest release from both Project Astro, which is coming out from Google, as well as ChatGPT, you can now take live video and it will give you commentary. That in the demos, they showed someone who was getting prepared for an interview. And they said, hey, am I dressed okay for this? And ChatGPT said in a very sort of cheeky way, well, you know, you look okay. You could comb your hair and maybe change your shirt and things like that.
So you said live video.
Yeah.
You're talking about right as it's being recorded. So
real time.
Turn the video on, look at it, and say, look at me now. Am I interesting?
Yeah. And what I think is interesting, what's, you know, there's a lot of mental health apps that are coming out.
Yeah.
Starting to use these things where it basically says, hey, you're not looking great, right? You look a little depressed. You want to talk about that?
No kidding.
Yeah.
So I can use a machine to tell me when I'm not feeling well.
Yeah.
I should know it myself, but the machine would be able to tell me more. The potential of this stuff is remarkable. It's, I guess using it is the challenge, figuring out how to use it. And that's what we're here to talk about. We'll get more into this after break. I'm sitting here with Kai Gray in the studio today. The conversation is AI. You're listening to What's Working. We'll be right back.
This is Seth Cherniak, Vice President of Branch Development for the Jeffrey Matthews Financial Group. If you're an experienced financial advisor wanting the freedom of independence but aren't sure making that jump is right for you, we should talk. Jeffrey Matthews has developed a successful program for advisors who don't want to be 1099 contractors and don't want to pay for their own overhead. We're looking for advisors who want the freedom to run their business the way they see fit with the support that comes with a W-2 firm. If you're interested in joining one of our branches, or if you want to open your own branch as a full-time employee, let's chat. Our compensation plan is one of the most competitive among all W-2 firms, big or small. Reach out to us today at jeffreymatthews.com, connect with me, Seth Cherniak, on LinkedIn, or click the link in the podcast.
Jeffrey Matthews Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC.
We're back. You're listening to What's Working, and I think there's so much meat left on the bone here with Kai Gray talking about AI that I can already tell we're going to run out of time, but we're going to jump into more of how to use this. Kai, during the break, we were talking about this insidious part of my life, yet I consume it at the same time, social media. How are you using it? You told me you were using it for social media. Tell me steps 1 through 10.
Sure. So, the backstory here is I'm not great at writing social media posts. It's not my forte. And I realized that AI can do a much better job with this. And so, particularly for my company, we need to be on LinkedIn. And it's where our customers are at. So the short answer is I find articles that are interesting in my target segment. I pull those into AI. In my case, it's ChatGPT. But the same is true if you use Claude or if you use Gemini, the other big sort of big AI systems. And I ask it to write a LinkedIn post for me. And I give it certain parameters. So I've tweaked this over time to say I want the post to be 100 words or less. I want it to contain five hashtags. I want you to put in the URL so it will bring up the preview image in a LinkedIn post. And I've given it examples. I've said, here are my last 20 posts. Use these as examples of how to write this. Start to learn my tone from things I've written before. So I've uploaded papers I've written before, any sort of documents, so it can start to understand how I speak and say, use this style when you're writing, whether it's an Instagram post or Facebook or LinkedIn, it doesn't really matter. But I get very prescriptive. I say, I don't want it to contain any emojis. I want it to, you know, sort of, I want this to be an objective sort of commentary. I don't want you to take a side. So you can really play around with this. So, you know, I have automated this to the point where I can just select 10 articles, sort of check them off in a news feed, and they automatically show up on LinkedIn and they get scheduled and things like that. But the way to start with this is just find things that are interesting, go into ChatGPT or whatever AI you use and ask it to write a post. And you're not going to like the first thing you get back. So then say, okay, well, that was a good start. Now I want it to look like this. And give it other examples. AI does an incredibly good job when you can give it examples of what you want. It will mimic it perfectly. And so, you know, I would say for you, show it every post you've written, right?
So go into all the Word documents that I've done to create content, copy paste it into it. Here's the tone. Here's my writing style.
And say, you know, we're going to call this style Cam. Now, in Cam style, please write a post on this topic.
Is it possible? You know, this is a very personal question, or not personal, but question unique to me. I've got 300 some odd radio shows.
Yes.
How do I get them into AI and say, give me the three most important points out of this show, that, and then convert those points into a LinkedIn post? How do I take audio and put it into text so that it can you do it?
Yeah, you can upload video, audio, text files, sort of whatever media you want
to ChatGPT.
Yes. Yeah.
So I just drag that MP3 into ChatGPT. Yes. Really?
That's right. You can also give it a URL of the radio show. So if it's a YouTube or a Spotify, it can parse that and listen to it and say, you know. So what I always say is read an article, create a summary for me of this article.
Yeah.
From that summary, highlight the top two most important things, then write a post about those things.
And can it do graphics too?
Oh, absolutely. So you can, you know, it can do in both ways. You can upload a graphic and say, write something about this. You can also say, create a graphic. I need a LinkedIn. I do this frequently. I need a LinkedIn post image, and it needs to be in this format, you know, sort of, you know, 16:9 or whatever it is. And I want it to look like X. I want it to be a photo of a kitten chasing a ball in black and white.
So it could be this instruction could be huge. I mean, this could be 500, 1,000 words of instruction.
Yes, that's right.
And
this is what, when people talk about prompt engineering, this is what prompt engineering is just giving instruction to AI to do something the way that produces an output that you want. Uh-huh. And so, just like I said, you know, in writing code, I don't spend as much time writing code anymore. I spend a lot more time writing instructions for AI to write code.
Right.
So I want this outcome, and I want it in these ways. And then sort of I iterate back through it. And it's the same with social media. So if you're a small business, you can upload all previous content and then say, hey, I need 10 blog articles, sort of topics. Create those topics for me. I'm in this industry. Create these topics for me, and then, you know, create a sort of 5 bullet points for each topic. Mm-hmm. And then within each 5 bullet points, write a one paragraph post about each one. Now, again, you may not love what comes out first, but it's going to be a lot better than what you can develop in 5 minutes sort of on your own. And you can use that and iterate through it and say, okay, I like this. I don't like this. And, you know, within an hour, you're going to have something that is very good, and you're going to have a week's worth of content.
Couple questions. We're running up on the end of the show, and I want to ask a couple questions. Google was initially created as a search tool, and then it became an advertising behemoth. Is that the path for AI?
Well, I think right now it's going to be subscription-based. I think that they're moving away from it. It's hard to monetize AI from an using ad revenue. So what we're seeing is subscriptions for everything.
What if I were somehow to say somebody's going to go on AI and say, give me the best podcast and radio show for business trends. Am I going to be able to pay AI to say, hey, throw me out first, throw Cam Marston's radio show out first?
I'm hesitant to say never because I just don't know. I don't see it in the near future.
Uh-huh.
That could be a, as we move into sort of the premium and free versions of everything, I could imagine maybe a free version having that where it's similar to Google where it said, this is a sponsored post. This is not AI. This is just an ad, effectively.
I've not tried this. Could I go on to AI and say, give me the best, and I'm going to make something up, dishwasher detergent for a guy that eats greasy foods, and it's going to give me a product recommendation?
Yes.
And at this point, if I understand it correctly, the manufacturer of this dishwasher detergent is not paying for that recommendation.
Correct.
It's just coming through whatever.
Yep. That's right.
So I could flood the internet, hypothetically, with superlatives about my business trend show. AI will gobble that up and say, he's obviously the best.
Yeah, it's possible. I think the amount of information you'd have to create to...
It's just extraordinary.
Yeah,
I recognize
it would be
that.
Prohibitive in that sense.
We're coming up on break. List for me the most compelling or best places for AI neophytes like me to begin. What are those sites?
Okay, so... I think Coursera.com, it's an education site. They have the greatest AI, free and paid AI classes that you can take. So if you're interested in AI, I strongly recommend that. Duke University also has a number of free AI courses, sort of AI 101 or prompt engineering, all really, really good. There's another site that I use a lot called PromptHub.com, and that's a... slightly more technical, but gets into prompt engineering.
If people want to learn what the Lower Alabama AI group is doing, what your conversations are about, where can they find you?
www.la-ai.io.
Thank you. Kai Gray back here with another great show. Thank you so much, Kai. There's a lot for us to work on here. You're listening to What's Working. We'll be back after this break for final comments.
I'm Joey Mason. For 4 years, my goal has been to produce the best farm-to-table products I'd ever eaten. I've done just that at our on-site USDA facility in Grand Bay, Alabama, allowing us to ship directly to your door. This is true farm-to-table. Visit us at masonhillsfarm.com to see all that we have to offer.
Folks, what I told Kai and what I think we need to probably do if we're very curious about this stuff is, as I told him, I need to go to a day on my calendar and put a big black line through that day and say, this day is all about learning what I can do with this technology, this AI technology. After the microphones went off, Kai and I talked about some of my personal projects that I hope to accomplish with AI, and he was confident that most of the things that I mentioned could be done. It will take some work and some, as he said, it's an iterative process, but it's, I think you and I can take the most tedious parts of every day and farm much of it out to AI, but in order to do so, we've got to sit down and spend the time to do it. And that's what I mean by going to my calendar and putting a big black mark through a day on the calendar and saying, I will not take phone calls. I will not schedule webinars. I will not do anything on this day except try to figure out how to take this miserable task that I deal with on a weekly basis off my calendar and turn it over to this technology, which frankly is going to be superior to me in this. Now, one of the things that I did show Kai that I have not yet talked about on the show, we're not quite ready to roll it out formally yet, is this communication skills and this presentation skills workshop that I've been working on for about the past 6 months, trying to create something in an intimate environment of 12 to 14 people over a 2.5 days that teaches them the skills of communication. These are the things that I've learned through this radio show and how to ask questions, how to interview people. These are the things that I've learned through, 20-something years of keynote speeches, well over 1,000 keynote speeches of how to give presentations and deliver content in such a way that keeps people engaged, as well as develop followership and loyalty and authenticity from the speaker, et cetera. All this kind of stuff. We're working on this, and when it's ready to go, I'll let you know. But I showed him this outline, this very rough outline before he left, and I said, hey, do you think this stuff is vulnerable, what I'm trying to teach here? And his response was encouraging. And frankly, I was listening throughout the show to see if anything he said would threaten this idea that I have of this workshop. And he said, man, Cam, I think this is lifelong. This is evergreen. This has been valuable stuff since we sat around the campfire as cave people talking about dragons and demons and stuff like this. And it certainly is applicable today. The point, there is no question that I think in a short amount of time, we will be able to look online and say, well, that's artificially generated. That's AI generated. We should take that with a grain of salt or be careful or know that that's not the real person. However, there is nothing that's going to replace interpersonal, face-to-face, manager to follower, leader to leader communication. And that cannot be altered. So the tools continue to advance. No doubt, we are now making tools that make tools that make tools. However, looking people in the eye, which is a big part of what every day is for so many of us, and communicating sincerely and genuinely is still going to be important. Something to think about. All right, that'll wrap us for this week. We'll have another show next week. Have a good week, everybody. As you likely know, this show originates as a radio show broadcast across the state of Alabama, and it continues to grow in both radio listeners and market. After it's formatted for radio, we then turn it into this podcast. Please share it with those you think would find it interesting and subscribe to the podcast on my YouTube page where you can leave messages and your thoughts and your comments, and I'll certainly get back in touch. Finally, if you're a fan of the show, please offer a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can find my book called What Works on Amazon.com. In it, I highlight the top 10 ideas from the first 200 episodes of the show. Mind you, they're not the top 10 best episodes. They're the top 10 best ideas. Many times the same ideas are brought up again and again by different guests, and we dig into those ideas in such a way that they'll be easily applicable for your business. Simply go to Amazon and enter my name, and you'll find What Works as well as my other books. Chapter titles include How to Find a Niche, Innovation, Building Teams, and so forth. To learn more about the workshops and seminars I offer, go to cammarston.com. There you can view clips of my work, view workshop titles, view my reviews, case studies, customer lists. It's all there. If you'd like a free copy of one of the chapters of my book, enter your email address at the bottom of the homepage at cammarston.com. And from that site, you can email me directly. I always love to hear from you. You'll also find me on social media. Find Cam Marston on all the social media platforms, and you may need to enter the numeral one. There's one other Cam Marston out there, and that numeral one distinguishes me from him from time to time. So if you're unsure if it's me or not, enter that numeral one after my name, and it should do the trick. On a more personal and less professional side, I record weekly commentaries that air across Alabama on Alabama Public Radio twice each day on Fridays called Keeping It Real. They've won statewide and national awards. They're simple observations on the world as it goes on around me, and they're only a few minutes long. They're a passion. You can find them on the same podcast app you're using to listen into this. Finally, if you're interested in advertising on this podcast or the radio show, reach out. I've worked hard to cultivate a specific listener, and I can tell you all about them, and I have many different options for helping you reach them. Thanks again for listening. We'll have another episode available soon.